So what did he do? And now, in those situations, not like you, like, let's negotiate. He knew that there was no negotiating. Because it was so clear, so clear, so clear. He said himself, go and read that John chapter 12. He said, Father, he said, will I say, Father, save me from this hour? He said, for this cause I came to this hour. That is, he recognized that he could not even ask God to save him from it. So you can imagine, it was distressing. And he was not allowed to face it with fear. He was not allowed to be weak in front of the Roman soldiers. He had to speak eyeball to eyeball with Pontius Pilate. Or is it Pompous Pilate? No, he had to look the fellow eyeball to eyeball. That one said, do you know I have power to kill you and release you? And he said, who? You have power to do what? Why relax? Why is he the vex, according to my wife? There's no need. You don't have, it's the power is just because God has granted it to you. So relax. Don't upset yourself over this matter. He had to come to that point of talking coolly like that. He had to get to a point. He'll be on the cross. Somebody on the side will be lamenting and will tell he will calm the person down. His mother will come, and that one came and said, hey, you're talking. He said, look, don't worry. I said to you, you will be with me this day in paradise. He had to be calm enough to do that. In the midst of all his pain, his mother came and was crying. He said, mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. All those things had to happen. So that was why he went into the garden. And listen to me, this is exactly what happened. He prayed and prayed. A summary of it was given to us. Then he came out. When he got to the gate, he saw Goliath again. He said, I'm coming. Goliath, wait. He went back inside. He prayed and prayed. He came out again. Those boys were not supporting. They had fallen asleep because they didn't understand what was going on. He saw the picture again. The thing was overwhelming. He went back and prayed again until the Bible says angels came and strengthened him. By the time he came, I told the boys, let us go. He was not the one defending everybody. Fight. Don't fight. Don't fight. You know, if we wanted to, if it was a case of deliverance, we would not have asked the Father for 12 legions of angels. And you now injured poor Malchus. Malchus, I know you're on the enemy side, but let's just show you that this is a voluntary matter. He bent down, took the ear, joined the back again. Just to let them know it's a voluntary matter. For them to know it's a voluntary matter, they say, who do you seek? Jesus Christ. Yeah. They say, I'm he. And they fell backward. And after they had fallen a number of times, he said, nah, I hope you have all gotten the point. That I laid down my life of myself. You are getting the point. But before he got to that point, when he saw the picture, you know what he did? He went to pray. What am I saying all of these things? The matter of doing great works of faith is not a matter of, no, I'll be strong. No. No, it's not like that. The stories of the scriptures were told for you to know that you can do it too. Not to let you know that those guys were great. No. One of the issues of faith, that God opens opportunities for you. Like I say all the time in life, you see, God always gives you, and that's what faith is. Let me explain. Something else came to my mind. Let me just explain it. Occasionally in life, God gives you opportunities, open doors for you to stretch out by faith. It's like shouting for help. Let me get somebody's mind. The story just came to my mind. A Rahab. You know Rahab? And Rahab was a woman of faith. Ah, is that not so? But remember her job before that time. What was the job? Use the proper word. Thank you. When you use harlot now, it looks like a spiritual word in the Bible. Prostitution. But like somebody said, why, how did she become a prostitute? We don't know. Because if you watch TV these days, you will know that there are different kinds of prostitutes. There are some who say, man, this is easy money. There are some who are slaves. There are different types. But here's the point. To everyone, God gives this door of opportunity. Do you want to escape? And God gave her that door also. Do you want to escape? How did she know? I don't know what was going on in her life, but when she heard the story, all the stories around the God of Israel, she was waiting for him. Take my word for it. She was waiting for him. And then when some people arrived, they said, they're Israelites. They said, oh, well, Father, thank you. She was not there. In the name of Jesus, the Bible says the time of my deliverance, I shall be ready. She didn't understand all that English. When God just opened the door, he said, are you the people from Israel? Yes. Oh, well, thank the Lord, they have come. Please, what must I do to be saved? You will help us. She said, to help you is all. I will help you now. I'll hide here. Enter inside a sack. Toss them inside somewhere. Lock the place. She did what all of us we call lying. Hey, God. She did what you and I would call what? Lying. Did you see them? Yeah, I did. They came. Yes, they stayed only a few hours. They've gone since. They went in that direction. Was that not a lie? They were right up there, hiding. She pointed them in the wrong direction. Don't worry, for God just forgave the whole thing. The young woman was taking advantage of the arrival of the God of Israel. And she, her story now became a matter of by faith. Are you see what I'm saying? It now became a matter of what? By faith. God gives everybody one opportunity in life. Say, you like your life the way it be? I'm not sure. Okay. It'll just open one door of opportunity. You either take it or you leave it. Those who reject it are the ones that now continue in bondage. But the ones who accept it, you know, start telling you later, by faith, he took a whole city. By faith, people will be jumping on the poop and talking about you later. They won't know what you were doing. It was like, either I do this one or I'm dead. Please, I hope you are following me. I hope you are following me. The story I'm telling all of these things for you to know. The stories in the Bible were not written to make you feel inferior. They were written for you to know that you too just love the Lord. The Holy Spirit will enter into you and set you on your feet, and you also will do greater things than those men did. Abraham was not a test. Oh God, please get. You have to get what I'm saying. The life of Abraham, God was not testing Abraham alone. He was testing what he had done in Abraham. Sacrifice your son. I said, man, Abraham was a man of faith. God was also saying that, I hope I have taught him well. Like if Abraham failed, two people failed. Abraham, number one, and the person who instructed him in faith from the beginning. From the time he was 75. See, he was 100. He was 117 or thereabouts when he finally went and tested him concerning the sacrifice of Isaac. Both people were being tested. What am I trying to explain? Don't ever forget. The faith of Abraham was something that God built in him by himself. God taught Abraham faith. I mean, it's just like, I'm a teacher. You give me a student, all right? And he has no other teacher. He can never learn what I did not teach. Agreed, he has to be a student that's willing to learn and able to learn. But having taken that one for granted, every other thing is dependent on what I have to give him. You must understand that. So, I'm trying to explain something to you here. So, Abraham was not just, man, that guy had faith. Listen to me. He too had to go through the school of faith. He had to invest in a business and lose some money. He had to go into partnership with Lot, and Lot's guys would be defrauding him. Another, he had to look for a way to separate from himself and Lot. Somebody had to stake his wife one day, and he was up there all night. It's not funny. Somebody will carry your wife, go. A man more powerful than yourself. In fact, the reason why you allow him to take the wife is that you don't want that. You know the story. So he was there. You think he was there sleeping? Say, thank God they've taken her. Now lie. He was there all night. In the name of God, this is not fair. This life is just not fair. Why should one man be more powerful than another like this? God said, don't worry, don't worry. They don't go touch your wife. Some angels went in there. You know, there are different kinds of angels. According to Apostle Benga, they are the ones that use... That's what Apostle Benga said. Not me, not me. So God must have sent some of those ones in there. Scatter the house of Abimelech. Abimelech changed his mind rapidly. Then Abraham understood God, the protector, the defender, the high tower. He started understanding some things about God. God taught him like that for years. At the age of 100, he had a child. So when God now says sacrifice him. And don't forget, I told you all the time, the first person that was sacrificed was not Isaac. It was Ishmael. Ishmael was the first to be sacrificed. It was a testing in faith. That means whether he can sacrifice Ishmael. So how did they do the sacrifice of Ishmael? Sarah came and said, drive the bond woman away and her son. And the Bible says the thing was grievous in Abraham's eyes. And God now said to him, make sure you obey the word that I gave you, in quotes, through your wife. So he gave up Ishmael as dead. He gave up Ishmael as dead. This was the same Ishmael he had prayed for. I don't have time to go into it. He said, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. It was a specific prayer. And the Bible says that as for Ishmael, God said to him, I have heard thee. Will you let that Ishmael go and let me fulfill that prayer, that answer I gave you that time? He passed that one. That was God training him. And eventually he found out that not only did Ishmael survive, Ishmael flourished. Go and read the scriptures. When he finally died, Ishmael returned and he and Isaac buried Abraham. So that was why when they now said, sacrifice Isaac. It wasn't just one day. Some people think God is very stupid. You know what I mean? Just see one young woman. Just God just say, look, you are going to marry that pastor from the jungle. God knows they do that kind of thing. And one young woman, she just gave her life to Christ yesterday. One pastor just come from the jungle, say, and this is a paperless. You know what they call paperless? Those kind of girls that their feet have never touched sand. From the time they were young, their parents had ensured they wore slippers all the time. Even inside the room that is rock, they wear flop, what do they call it? Flip flops, those kind of things. Those kind of people that their father made sure the generator is on so that they won't be hot. From the time they were babies, though. Now give a life to Christ one day. Says the Holy Spirit says, come marry a pastor that's going to Congo. You get some kind to go, Holy Spirit, they do. Go, you carry one paperless through inside the jungle of jungle. A mosquito better that you go shout. Ah! You say, first time I say, what's that? I said, I thought it was a snake. It's just a mosquito. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. No, God gets sense. Amen. Amen. Yes, he has sense. He knows how he does it. Are you saying, Pastor Mackey, that I can't? No. I'm not saying God doesn't send such people to such places. But he has to callous their feet first. He won't carry you from where you're walking on rug and with your flip-flops and, you know, those kind of, when you enter their bathroom. You know that the tiles inside the bathroom, they go see, put cloth, take those slippers at the door. You know, there are people like that walking around. They don't know what life is like. So don't get me wrong, I'm not saying God can't speak like that. I'm just saying that it took him 40 years and more to train Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. He also takes time out to train faith. It's God's responsibility if we work with him to build faith into us. That's what I'm going to explain. Like I was saying, if you ask a phrase, hey, what will happen? Relax, it's not your time. Go back home and go and pray. Keep on getting trained. The time is coming. A time will come that she's the one that will be calling and say, please, can I go to the Congo? What are we doing in this place, Seth? Now you're going to preach the fire and brimstone gospel. You're getting what I'm going to explain. It took God 40 something years to build enough faith in Abraham for Abraham to be able to gladly and willingly drop Isaac. It was not only Abraham that was being tested. God's training method was also being tested. I dare to say to you, and we did that then when we were talking about learning from Moses. I remember what I kept on saying, that it is not Moses we are trying to be like. We are looking at the aspect of the life of Jesus Christ, who is the image of whom we are supposed to be. We are looking at that aspect of him that is reflected in the life of Moses. And that's what that whole series, learning from Moses. I'm going to say something here. The same way God built faith in Abraham, he also used that same method. He had to test the method and put that in the life of Jesus in different ways. Because even Jesus learned obedience. Obedience is faith. He learned obedience from the things that he suffered. He had to be perfected. He didn't just show up one day and say, yes, I'm the Son of God. Let me save all of you right now. No. He had to be made perfect. We'll read it from the book of Hebrews. He had to be made perfect before he could become the author of eternal salvation. What am I saying all of this? In fact, I don't know. That was not what I planned to preach. We'll get to what I really plan to preach next time, you know? Let me just sit down there. In fact, I feel the Holy Spirit just wants somebody here, in fact, all of us here to understand that being a great man, a great woman of faith, is not greatness that you had. inside yourself. No. No. It is the Holy Spirit working in you. It is God himself training you to that level. It is God himself. He knows how he will turn the paperless girl that we're talking about, turn her to a jungle queen. He knows how he will do it. He knows how he's going to do it. He knows how he's going to move her from one level to the other. So if you're a paperless person, say, my mates are in the jungle. Listen, don't worry. What did I say? You will soon get to your own jungle at the appropriate time. Your mates in the jungle didn't get there because they are bold. If they are really real people of faith, they got there because the Holy Spirit entered into them and set them on their feet. Don't ever forget that. Not all of us go to the jungles. Some people are going to minister in cities. Like I say all the time, Joseph left prison and went to the palace. Is that not so? Moses left palace and went to the wilderness. So different people will minister in different places. Don't look at it. I mean, I told you, let me say it again. What they call, if Nebuchadnezzar, if he shows up now and builds his own temple, his idols, and he says you should bow, you too, you will not bow. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Me too, I will not bow. Did I hear an amen for me?
Amen.
Not because you are strong, not because I am strong, but because if God says we are not bowing, because we love him, we will not bow. You know what Jesus said to his disciples? He was talking about persecution. He said, don't think about what you will say on that day. You'll be brought before trial. He said, don't rehearse it. Don't plan it. Just show up there. He said, behold, I will give you a mouth and a wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or gainsay. None of them will understand what you are talking about. I will give you a mouth and a wisdom. I heard the story of Jennings Finney Dick. That's the man who wrote the Dick's Bible. He said the man could quote the whole of the New Testament off head. Some people can't quote John 3:16 complete. Yeah, it's true. Some people can't quote John 3:16 complete. But they said the man. But Dix will quote the whole of the New Testament like this. You know what they call whole? The book of the genealogies of, you know, and Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judah and his brethren. And Judah begat this, and he will go on like this. And an angel came, he will finish Paul, an apostle. That is like that, word for word. Now, I didn't hear this one myself, but I know this is largely true. But the one which I cannot even say for sure, they say somebody dead him once. And he said there's no problem. That the only thing he's asking for is that there should be a radio coverage. Put him in front of an open place. So he can't have any Bible. Somebody showing him. They say at the time he was reciting the thing. Then he stopped. And said he forgot something. If they want, he will start again. So go and be putting comma and full stop at the correct places. And his wife said something. I'm going somewhere. His wife said that, listen, if you think the man has a good memory, send him to the market. If you think his brain is very sharp, just tell him to go and buy and don't write the list down. You're going to tell him to buy 5 things. He'll come back with 2.5. That is what he was trying to say is the man has his own grace. That's what she was trying to explain. That he had his own grace. The man hooked the whole New Testament in the head. The Lord is good. And why I went there is that, listen, God pours grace. Each person has his own grace. Are you getting my point? All right, each person has his own grace. We're talking about the realm of faith also, all right? There's faith as a gift. Great faith is never developed personally by anybody. Great faith is always a gift of God. That's why I wrote in that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. What is it that is important? That we all love God. And we have little faith. Jesus said, that's all you need to do great things. You know that? Faith as what? A mustard seed. He said, that's all we need. Faith as a mustard seed. What have I said today? Let me say it again. It's about the 10th time I'm saying it. You read the story of Elijah in the Bible. The story of David, Abraham, Rahab, all those people. Those stories were not told to make you feel inferior. They were not even told to make you aspire to great things. No, no. That is important we get it. those stories were told to let you know that from where you are right now, if you just walk with God simply, and I started by saying that faith is just a habit. Just walk with God normally, simply. You will do greater things than Elijah did. Those are the ones who were young students. Maybe people did not know, they confused us a bit. We're given the impression that the reason why people like William Marion Brigham, people like that, why they had so, you know, people like Jack Cole, all the men who used to read their stories, you know, that it was because, why they had so much spiritual power flowing in their lives, was because they prayed a lot, and they fasted a lot, and they knew how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. So, those of us who are aspiring preachers, and they'll tell you stories like, before this man mounts the pulpit, 2 hours he does not talk to anybody. Before this one does like this, 4 days he knows the chop. Before this one goes does this, ha! So you know small boys now. 4 days you will not eat because you want to preach for 1 day. You know, you get worried, you know what I'm saying? And of course, when you preach, and the preaching is not powerful, you see? It is because you ate. You went and ate. Look at your preaching, now it's watery. Then you see some brethren that time, they will lay hands on people. They will be falling down at the power. Ah! Like, now, wow. So you go and be looking at those people, say, how did it take? How did they arrange this thing? Someone said, look, they are always speaking in tongues. Ah! So you'll be going on the road, you'll be the price. Now after 2 hours, you don't tire. They said they used to pray all night. Okay, no problem. So you come, say, tonight is the night in which we shall pray all night. And some of those brethren used to pray very fantastically. I remember one brother, I used to call him Baba Stivo. When they got out, those of you know Uniben, I was staying in Hall 3. I'll be hearing him pray from Sports Complex. Sports Complex is near the gate. I'm not joking. Baba Sibo is praying in Sports Complex. We are hearing in Hall 3 at night. I'm not kidding. So, you know, some things you just see and you all give up. Instant give up. I remember those days. We have meetings in Sports Complex, you know, prayer meetings and all of that. I still remember this particular day as we were leaving. Maybe we were leaving around 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, you know, that kind of thing. You see, Baba Stevo remove his towel, drop it, drop his Bible. He's about to start. That is, the small boys are going home. And that's it. From that 11, 12, he's going to be there till 5 a.m. This is part of it, I'm telling you. So that's how those brethren, and when they are preaching, powerful, that is, they could move everybody with their, so we small boys now, we just used to give, in fact, at that time, you just give up, say, there's no how, because you don't try before, that one, you just, tonight is the night of praying all night. You just, before you know what's happening. In the name of Jesus. Oh boy. By 1 o'clock, you could tell the Lord that we'll complete this thing tomorrow because if I can't even tell him, you are falling asleep. That was the impression we were given. Until we began to study and we're growing. And we realized that it is not so. What did I say?
It's not so.
It's not so. It's not so. I found out that most people that were heavily anointed in the Bible, it was quarrel between them and God. I will send you. You know I can't go now. No, go and check Moses. I will send you. To where? Hey, this talking thing has never been my strong point. But years ago we were trying, but you know, now. God had to be persuading. Okay, I will send a prophet. As your brother will be your prophet, you are going to be God to him. Hey, this is God matter. Now, wow. Is there argument? So, okay, when I get there now, what will I tell them? Who will I say sent me? argument. You know, at the point in time, God got angry. They went and met Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, listen, this job is for old people. I'm a small boy. God has to say, shh, stop saying things like that. I found out that those that God heavily anointed in the Bible, go and read it. They were not praying all night. When God said pray all night, they said, Lord, I need to sleep. I found out that each person has a calling. They gave us the impression that if you pray hard enough, you see into the realm of the spirit. I found that those who prayed so as to see into the realm of the spirit, they saw only evil spirits. Yes? I read enough to understand that those that angels used to come to their house, some of them, the angel had to explain why they came. They were wondering, what are you looking for? Did you miss your way? We never prayed for all of these things. And we found out later that God had a move. This is a matter of fact. Well, one man of God, my wife and I went to visit him when he came to Enugu. We went to his hotel room. We stayed with him for over 2 hours. We were just talking, telling us, because he also was there. Told us a lot of things. Put all this together, I found out it was something that God was doing at a time. Because he himself said, by the time he left school, there was a time the whole thing just kind of came to an end. You know, just suddenly ceased. All this one would lay hands on, people are just falling down. He just lay hands on everybody, were looking at him, so why did he touch my head? He said, remember to just continue what he still does here today. Teaching the word of God, preaching the word of God faithfully. I look back at the lives of people like me. I said, look, God just said, look, some of those things, banking, I'm not going to let you learn them. Because it will corrupt your understanding of the scriptures. And you'll not be able to impart true knowledge to people that I want you to impart the knowledge to. We thought men had great spiritual power because of their own personal strength. They knew how to pray for 48 hours. I was watching this man on TV. His name just escaped me now. Not somebody I quote a lot, but I just watched him on TV when he was preaching, talking about spiritual power and all of that. Just, he was trying to explain something that is not something that you do by force. He said one day he traveled. After traveling everything, he was supposed to preach in one church. So while they were doing all the choir singing and everything, he sat in his chair and fell asleep. He slept off. And after a while, he heard him call his name, introducing him. They didn't know he was asleep. He was not meditating. He was asleep. So when they called his name, so he got up. As soon as he got up, everybody on his roof fell down under the power of God. Now listen, he didn't pray for them. He was not even aware. He was asleep. He was saying, he said that he was asleep. He went to preach there. They now called him up like, it's time to welcome Pastor, whatever his name is. And that's it. That one woke him up. So just picked his things and got up. As soon as he stood up, everybody sitting on his row fell down under the power of God. Everybody. You're getting what I'm not explaining. Young Christians will tell you the kind of spiritual manifestation that passed through their hands. And you knew that these guys didn't do anything. When I read the story of the gentle breeze of Jesus, may I tell you the story of one little girl there that God had used to raise, like, I think, two dead people. They died. She laid hands on them. They woke up again from the dead. She was so spiritually immature, she was bragging about it. That man got angry. And God had to use it to show him that she's just a child. That's how children behave. They don't understand anything yet. She was just a child. Look, I was supposed to talk on faith and prayer, but what I've tried to explain today is this. It's literally not by your power. It's literally not by your might. It is by the Spirit of God. I say it one more time before I close. The stories of the Bible were not told. The stories of the giants of faith, they were not told to make you feel small. They were not even told to help you aspire to great things. They were told to let you know that small people with God can do great things. That you don't have to be so strong in faith. Just love God small. Jesus called it mustard seed. And Nebuchadnezzar will blow smoke in your face and you will not be afraid. You will see lion, You will have killed the lion before you realize that it's a lion. That God will convert many of your mistakes, what normally wouldn't fit sensible practice. Like a young boy who a lion, a bear, took just one lamb. What is one lamb and the life of a human being? It doesn't make sense for somebody to say he's running after a lion to collect a lamb back. It does not make sense. I'm telling you again, it was reckless. It was. It was childish. But when the young boy loves God, it becomes a step of faith. I don't know whether you get my point. Nobody ever teaches people that when you see the lion, you run after it. No. But because he loved God, we attend the story today as if the man said, yes, I'm a lion fighter. He didn't say so. He ran after the lion out of anger. He was provoked. He did not know how to control that anger. And he took his feedback, like, give me my thing. Give me my thing. It's your own. You know that kind of childish thing. Give me. It's your own. And lion said, you won't try me. He said, look, I don't want trouble. I don't want my sheep back. And lion said, wow. And David gave the distance between here and there. He said, enough, I'll run the lion. He said, well, the easy way to handle this is to tackle this guy. And the Holy Spirit entered into him and he killed the lion. Listen, as a businessman, one day you will kill a lion. Yeah. Like Ajay Lotono said, he did not realize that that was improper accounting. I told him, when you are following too much ways of the world, sensible, sense, sometimes you just have to learn to trust God. If you trust God, some of the improper accountings you will do is the reason why you make it in life. You hear what I said? And that's what I'm preaching. God working in you, your life will become a story that people will misunderstand it. They say, yes, you were a great man of faith. You say, me. When they say, stay up, if I half of the prayer meetings, I miss them. Why? I went to eat. That you know how undependable and irresponsible, in quotes now, that you have been. Yet, you will succeed. Are you getting my point? Your errors, God will ride on them. They will become stories of triumph later. Mistakes, things you did rashly. They say, who's going to do this business? They say, yeah, me. By the time your parents heard, by the time your friends heard, by the time your pastor heard, they knew that you had made a terrible mistake. By the time they called you to correct you, you had then made a billion naira. I don't know whether I get my point. When everybody that knew you and loved you and had sense heard, they knew you were done. So they called you to warn you. By that time, the thing had borne fruit. I said, what are people talking about? Then one day, somebody will write a book. 17 Habits of Highly Effective, Spiritual, Fruitful, and Dominating, and Fruit, what is it, Conquering the Earth People. They will start writing your life mistakes as if they were deliberate. The Lord is good. I don't want to sound critical. There's one book I saw, one man analyzing some of the life, you know, you heard the stories of the life of David. When you are going to see Pharaoh, you dress for the way Pharaoh is. When you are going here, and they analyze from the life of Joseph, as if somebody told Joseph, this added, Joseph, most of those steps were taken in confusion. If they throw inside a pit, do you know what you do? You fall inside. Is there anything spiritual about you go into a pit? They say Pharaoh is calling you. The man who said Pharaoh is calling you is the one that brought the cloth you wore. He's the one that shaved you. Are you getting my point? The one that told you, when Pharaoh is talking, you stand like this. Now I say, yes, tomorrow we are going to see Pharaoh. Hallelujah. So when we are going to see Pharaoh, we shave ahead of time. Many people have shaved. They are still in jail. Do you get what I'm saying? They will write the story of your life one day. And when you read it, you say you will have to laugh. Say, she was very strategic in her planning. Say, so you say, which strategy? They now show, that was the one that almost died while I was doing it. I only did it because I had no choice. And they are saying that you were strategic. See, she knew how to locate the proper place to put that business so that the clients would come from four angles. They won't know that you looked for a house for 2 years. Nobody rented it to you. Finally, you saw one that somebody packed out of and allowed you to be paying small, over 6 months. And that was why you entered into the place. But because from there, God commanded the blessing. You get my point? You now go and analyze it. Say, you see that building? It has a double lane road going this way. There's 175 degrees to this corner. And then around it, there's a swamp at the back. You won't know when you moved in there. Ross, everybody rejected that place. That is what is called the glory of God. Let me summarize it. Or let me end it. One sentence. You too will do great things.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit will tabernacle inside you and convert all your errors into stories of success.
Amen.
Your ignorance will appear later for subsequent generations as if they were deliberate plans made towards success.
Amen.
That will be your testimony in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The stories of the great men, the women of the Bible, they were not written to make you feel inferior or to even make you aspire to greatness. They were written to let you know that small people with God, they can do great things. I hope you understood that today. I hope you understood that. Let's just bow down here and just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you for your sweet word, your beautiful word that has come forth. Say, Lord, we give you the glory because you are good. Let's just rise to our feet. Let's just take a few confessions and then we're out of here. Just for 1 minute. Everybody just say after me, say, the Lord is my light and my salvation.
The Lord is my deliverer and is my security.
Say, the Lord is my light and my salvation.
There is no one who I will fear.
Say, the Lord is the defense of my life.
I shall not be afraid of anyone.
Say, when evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, they stumbled and they fell. Say, though a host encamps around me, that is an army, though an army encamps around me,
my heart will not fear.
Though wars arise against me,
in spite of this I shall be confident.
Even though it's a war of financial adversity,
in spite of it I shall be confident.
Even though there are wars of envies and jealousies,
in spite of everything, I shall be confident.
Because the Lord is with me. Say, because the Lord is with me. Say, the Lord will conceal me in the rock when there is trouble.
He will hide me in his sanctuary.
Say, I will hold my head high above my enemies.
I will never give up.
I will always have hope.
Knowing that the Lord is on my side.
Say this like you believe it. I will constantly rejoice.
I will be happy at all times.
I will constantly have hope.
I will never be cast down.
Because the Lord is with me.
It's because the Lord is with me.
Say, I declare of the Lord.
He alone is my refuge,
my place of safety.
He is my God,
and in him I trust.
He will rescue me from every trap
and protect me from every deadly disease.
He will shield me with his wings.
He will shelter me with his feathers.
His faithful promises are my armor and protection.
I will not be afraid of the terrors of the night,
nor fear the dangers of the day.
Nor will I dread the epidemic that stalks in darkness.
Say, though a thousand falls at my side,
and 10,000 are dying around me,
these evils will not touch me.
Say, I have made the Lord my refuge.
I have made the Most High my shelter.
No evil will conquer me.
No plague will come near my dwelling place.
Because he orders his angels to protect me.
They keep me wherever I go.
They will keep me with care.
and I will not be injured. Say, the Lord will rescue me because I love him.
The Lord will rescue me because I love him.
He will protect me because I trust in his name.
He will protect me because I trust in his name.
Say this like you believe it. He will rescue me and honor me.
He will rescue me and honor me.
He will satisfy me with long life.
He will satisfy me with long life.
And give me his deliverance.
And give me his deliverance.
And healing.
And prosperity.
Say, Father, we thank you. Just say, Father, we thank you. Just worship him. Thank him from the bottom of your heart because your security is in him and in him alone.